Big breathe in to start the show by Kirk Smith, everybody.
I wasn't sure it was my turn. Go.
You go ahead.
I think I did. Hey, guys. Yeah. Welcome to another week of Autastic, mm-hmm. Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this sitting next to me is...
I'm Graham Kay.
We are two comedians with family members with autism who we love very much, and this is a podcast where we just talk about it.
Yeah. If you're new to the podcast, we're idiots, and we're just trying to figure it out, and we're trying to make something that isn't sad about autism, and we're just trying to figure it out. Kirk's a dad. I'm a brother.
Idiot's Guide to Autism.
It's what it should be.
Great title.
It's what it should be. That's actually funnier. Oh, well, too late.
Episode 70, we figure out a good title for it.
Yeah. Well, first thing we do in our podcast is a week in review. That's Kirk, right. Do you want to start?
Yeah, we have what's going on this week. My son is they're taking him to a couple of things. Horseback riding started again. I don't think I've talked about that in a while. So he really likes horses. That's
nice.
His thing. And it's funny because dogs scare him. Little dogs scare him, but horses don't scare him at all. He likes horses.
Interesting.
And they found him a Clydesdale to ride. Basically, this giant horse. Because I don't think it's a Clydesdale, but it's some sort of giant horse that so he's a big boy. And what else is going on? He's gotten really picky about his clothes, which is interesting.
Uh-huh.
So his pants have to match his sweatshirt.
Well, that's
have
good.
To match his shirt.
He's just stylish.
He's
getting that age where, like, when I was 16, was he 17?
17, yeah.
When I was like 17, around then is when I started to like pay attention. Be like, yep. Maybe I should try jeans.
Do you know? I always have to wear shorts?
So it's interesting. So they match. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's a lot of dark colors, a lot of matching, and he also went into a store. They're trying to teach him money. So I think I told our listeners that he kind of has the concept of money. He basically throws coins at cashiers and he takes what he wants. So
I love that image. He's so big too.
Yeah, just like take it. I used to.
That's good though. That's a good first step.
I was
right.
Yeah, it's a good first step. I barked once for barking. Was like when you invite people into a comedy club.
When you annoy people on the street, when you start out comedy to get stage time, you have to like stand on the street and bother people and be like, come to this comedy show. And everyone has to do it. And it's the worst. We all hate it. But anyway,
it's
go on.
Super embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was down in San Antonio. Didn't know anybody, maybe 10 years ago. And there was a comic coming up who I knew. And I thought, oh, this would be funny. I'll pretend to bark at him. Like, hey, come to the show. You can come on. And he, so funny. He had a handful of pennies change. Threw it at my chest and then yelled and ran away. We still talk about that.
That's awesome.
And it hurt.
How many? What do you think it added up to?
Probably 40 cents and a lifetime of pain. It was pretty fun, though. Pretty fun time. So, yeah, he's taken to shopping a little bit. So he went in and he bought these, I think they're called joggers. It's all the rage. They're not really sweatpants. They're like pants with... a waistband.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what he's taking to do, which is good.
That's good. It's a step up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter has is a little more, my brother's a little more high functioning than your son. And he doesn't understand money either. He doesn't understand, like I've said before, how 10 cents is worth less than $5.
Right.
Makes 0 cents to him. And I kind of get that.
It's all paper.
Mm-hmm. Chris Gordon here. We just called Chris Gordon. And the reason why we did that is because... for my week in review, my brother went to a comedy show last night, and then he met one of my friends. He went and my buddy Chris Gordon on the line. So you met my brother last night. What happened? You want to summarize it for me?
I did. He came up to me and he said, "I am Graham Kay's brother." What's his name again? Peter? Is it?
Yeah, Peter.
What is his name?
Peter. Peter.
Kay. Yeah, Peter. And then I was like, "Oh, that's so awesome! Nice to meet you." I'm like, "You have an awesome action figure collection. I collect action figures too," and I knew he did. And then he just was like, "Do you like my Spider-Man shirt?" And then I was like, "Yeah, it's awesome." And then he's like, and then he just lifted his shirt and showed me his. Okay, it was his belt, but. Yeah, he showed me his belt. He's like, "Look, it's Spider-Man 2." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's awesome."
Yeah.
And then he went over and introduced himself to another comic on the show, Nick Burden.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. It was like, "I'm Graham Kay's brother." He's like, oh, I love Graham K. And then he's like, do you like my Spider-Man shirt? Yeah. And then he showed him the buckle. And then he's like, people say I look like Peter Parker. And I'm like, you totally do kind of look like Peter Parker. And then he was like, okay, bye. That was pretty much the whole thing, I think.
In and out, all business. Yeah.
It was awesome, though. I had no idea he was here. And then I saw, I think the group he was with, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I didn't even know. I had no idea they were there.
Yeah, well, they...
I think he told me what it was called, but I didn't understand the name. Like, I don't know.
He speaks very quickly. It's live, work, play. So he's like, I'm here with my play placement. And he'll get, you know, he assumes everybody understands what that is. But were they good audience?
Oh, yeah, it was a good show. It's always insane here in Ottawa. The late show was the one that got crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There were drunk chicks and...
you need more autistic audience members.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing now, I think. they're better than drunk chicks.
Yeah.
And so late show,
and
I ran around dancing to this religious song. It's kind of my opener thing now.
Mm-hmm.
But their table was so brutal. I went over to the table and I just put a chair on their table and I spilled all their drinks. Even though they were like all empty, but they did not like that. And the rest of the crowd loved that. And then as I was getting on stage, I sprained my ankle and it's super purple today. So
big day.
That's a stand-up comedy injury.
Hey, Chris, this is Kirk. I was thinking about, you remember we did that show at the Mix in Vancouver? And Chris is selling.
Yeah.
Chris is selling his. Tell the story. Tell the story, Chris. You want me to tell it?
Oh, yeah. Kirk's doing a spot. And so he's like selling his a book afterwards. And I'm selling a Baron Wolf t-shirt. And we're like, we're standing beside each other. And Kirk tries to sell this guy's book. And he's like, no. But book, he grabbed a wolf about, t-shirt.
Yeah,
I try to sell him an autism
book. Yeah, book about.
Yeah, and he buys a wolf t-shirt instead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when he was leaving, I just said, oh, thanks for supporting wolves and not autism. And Kirk lost his mind. He thought it was so funny.
It was,
and then that guy kind of felt guilty. He's like, no, I just, I don't have a lot of money. We're like, whatever, dude, just get out of here. You're fucked up.
It was pretty funny.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, man.
Yeah.
Peter is very,
yeah, of course.
Very, 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 very proud and excited to tell people that other comedians that he's my brother and it's awesome. Thanks for spending time.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I love the way he came up and just did that.
Yeah.
Was not shy about showing off his belt buckle at all.
No, he leaves. It's like his prized possession. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I'm a big Spider-Man fan too, so it was like kind of cool for me to finally meet Peter Parker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Chris Gordon, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is LLGordonJ, but my website is hilariouscomedian.com, and you can get all links to social media off of there.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
And I'm currently drinking a Bailey's and coffee because I have four shows to do tonight, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it.
Well, good luck. You'll be fine.
You seem like a wolf.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're a wolf, buddy.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for your time, man.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a very funny comedian, Chris Gordon.
He's a lunatic.
I want to apologize for the multiple swears. That's on me. I didn't warn him
before.
I'm going
to edit him out.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to get the letters.
That's fair. But anyway, that's. I called him up quickly because he had to go on stage. He's about to go on stage. And it's in response to I wanted to follow up because I got a letter from my brother today. Yeah, so this that interview is in response to a letter that my brother wrote me. I just got it, so I had to call my friend. It was like perfect timing. And anyway, so Peter goes, I think Peter's in a really good mood today.
Good.
And I can tell from the letter. He goes, "Hello, Graham, and while it was still Friday, November 16th, 2016, back in the great city of Ottawa, where I have lived all my life, even when it was still Friday, November 18th, 2016, well back when I went right over to the Absolute Comedy Placement, that's a comedy club, but he adds placement, that was always been somewhere on Preston Street and back in the great city of Ottawa. You know he's in a good mood because of all the greats. So I went there with some of the other great Live Work Play members for another one of our great Live Work Play Friday Night Out events. So while I spent the next great Live Work Play Friday Night Out event with Live Work Play at the Absolute Comedy placement, he wrote ACP, that has always been somewhere on Preston Street in Ottawa. Luckily, I was able to meet the three great gentlemen, Andrew, Nick, and Chris. Well, luckily, I waited until they were finished with performing. Because one time, the reason why I said I waited till I was finished is because one time he was so proud and he just stood up in the middle of someone's act and was like, "My name's Peter. I'm Peter Parker." And like showed him the belt buckle.
I'm Grabke's brother.
Yeah, and showed him the belt buckle. And then I think it happened to Eddie, our friend Eddie. And he's like, "Am I getting heckled by Peter, who I've never met?" And he knew about Peter, luckily. Anyway, so back to Peter. So he goes, "So they liked seeing how I was dressed in one of my awesome red Spider-Man T-shirts. Well, luckily, they especially saw how my awesome Spider-Man belt buckle on at all times from your great little brother Peter."
Nice.
Good amount of greats.
Yeah.
You know, a great amount of greats.
He's doing great.
He's doing great. So that's been the week in review. Next up, we do, as most of you know, we do a in the news segment.
We do like in the news. We've got a couple articles this week.
We're going to do a couple.
The first one is autism and ADHD.
ADHD.
Man, I say it like a TV sometimes.
Yeah.
Have more in common than you might think. The two disorders concur in up to 80% of the cases. That's what this article says. And it says, we have a tendency to look at autism, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, as having much in common. But new science offers a compelling reason to consider taking some of the striking similarities between the two disorders. Basically, it talks about how much they have in common, that they run in families, they're characterized by similar symptoms, which is difficulty paying attention and impaired social interactions. And scientists are finding increasingly that autism and ADHD actually occur together in a large percentage of patients, something that has rarely been recognized until now, despite the fact that between 30 and 80% of patients with autism also have ADHD. Until 2 years ago, the Diagnosis and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders stated that a person couldn't have both disorders at the same time.
Right. Well, here's what I think about that and how I can relate to that is I have been diagnosed with ADHD. My brother's obviously autistic and a person with autism. And I think that there was a time in my life where I may have been a little autistic. Like there was a time when when I was two, my dad said that I would take the screen door, take the handle, and open and close it. And it had like a big sort of like toggle on the top that you have to pull, and then it would go, doo-dee-sh, and I would do that. My dad said I would do it for 2 hours straight if he didn't pull me away. It was just the loudest. I would just go, doo-dee-sh. And then I was later diagnosed with ADHD in high school, and my brother's is a person with autism, and they've shown, there are other studies that we've read on this show, that say that autism is genetic, and it you know, if you have one kid, it's a higher rate that you'll have a second.
Statistically, have a better chance of having another.
So I feel like I don't know. Obviously, like we said in the beginning, we're both idiots, so we don't know. But like, but I both, feel like there you, was, you know me. How you can sort of, a lot of people with autism are not autistic, and then around two or three, they become autistic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was sort of in there for a second, and when, for whatever reason, I fought out of it.
Well, we talked about this in the show. Statistically, a lot of people come out of it, too.
I think I'm one of those, maybe, I was in it for like 6 months, maybe a year. You know, and I got out of it somehow, but I still have big time ADHD. I can't pay attention to anything. It's pretty brutal. My ex-girlfriend loved it. She'd be like, I should be talking to me, and then I'd just be looking at her, and she could tell from my eyes that
thinking
I was
about absolutely anything.
She'd be
else.
Like, "Where are you right now?" I'm like, "Hello."
Graham, I can tell from your eyes sometimes my stories that you're long gone.
Can you really? Can you honestly? That's so fun. I'm sorry, man.
like, well, this story apparently is not a great story.
I'm just staring at your eyebrows, like
staring off to the middle distance.
I can't help it. It takes over, man.
That's funny.
So I believe that. I totally believe that article.
So, yeah, so that's one. We had another one. We thought, hey, this is our show. We can do two articles in the news if we want.
Mm-hmm.
This one talks about a group, an improv troupe called Asperger's Are Us, which is the first, they claim to be the first comedy team on the autism spectrum, and there's a new documentary coming out on them. They've been together for six years.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah, it's coming out on Netflix, I believe.
Yeah.
So, it talks about their story to connect their what they call quirky humor.
Yeah, what's interesting is if you see the trailer, they're all higher functioning, but some more than others. There's some that you would visibly see. You know what I mean? As someone with autism.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd be curious to see it because you don't want to laugh at somebody. So then you're like,
very true. But they showed their sketches, like snippets of their sketches, and they're funny. Like, people are laughing at all the right times. They're not laughing at them, you know? And obviously, I think that if people are going to come see a comedy troupe named Autism or Us,
Asperger's.
Asperger's or Us, they're going to know that they have Asperger's.
Makes sense.
They're not going to be jerks.
Hopefully not.
That's true, though. It could attract that kind of person's like, but I mean, I really don't believe those people really exist.
Well, there was a thing this week about, change the subject, about what show was this? About the show.
Obviously, there are bullies, but I'm saying the type of person that would actually go to.
Right, but there's a show called Real Estate Bazillionaires or something, or you know what I'm talking about?
CISO, yeah.
Yeah. And so they do a thing where one of the characters says really racist stuff, and one of the guys was talking about how he's upset that it's attracting the wrong kind of demographic that people don't get. That's irony or whatever.
Yeah, well, Dave Chappelle left his show for that reason 10 years ago.
Right.
He was like doing all this sort of making fun of racism by having a racist character that is obviously an idiot. And the joke being you make fun of how dumb this person is.
Right, but some people weren't in on the joke.
Some people did not get the irony of it and were like, yeah, hilarious.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, right?
Yeah, I think that good for them. I mean, it's interesting. Comedy is a very interesting thing for someone with autism or on the spectrum to do because to be funny, you have to be very self-aware, you know?
And it depends on the humor.
I guess. I mean, you could be a very clever writer.
Yeah, but there's some people that are doing like physical stuff, and I'm not sure they're always in on the joke.
Here's the thing. There's let's say good comedy.
Okay. Yeah.
And that cuts out all the people who are bad and aren't in on the joke and or whatever. Because there's problem with comedy is there's so many people that go like, I'm a comedian. It's not a bicycle. Just because I'm riding a bike, like if you ride a bicycle, you're automatically a cyclist.
Right.
But if you do one set, you're not a comedian.
Right.
It takes you got to be able to make people laugh consistently.
And different, I think, we talked about this the other day with somebody else. I think you have to be able to make people different than you laugh. If you can make people laugh that are exactly like you, that's okay, but that's a baby step.
Right. But that's exactly right. And to piggyback off what you just said is what impressed me about the trailer that I saw for Asperger's or Us is they were making people different than them laugh. For the right reason, because it was funny. Like they were funny. They were silly, and they had good writing and everything like that. You know, and I don't think that in comedy people will laugh more if they know you, and if they're on your side automatically.
They will or won't?
Will.
Okay.
You know, so it seemed like the audience was not it wasn't just like a what we call a bringer show with like a bunch of their friends in the audience and a bunch of people who were laughing because they felt sorry for them, you know.
Yeah.
It was actually funny. It was good. Like they deserved what they were getting.
Well, check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to do another article or do you want to go into a
sure, we can do another article. We had
so we've got one more article.
This was kind of a viral thing that it's got sent to me a bunch of times by several people is a determined dad asked the internet to help his son with autism. Basically, He's looking for replacements for his sippy cup that his son has used for years.
Right.
And the kid's going to be 14 on Sunday. And mm-hmm. since he was two, he only uses one really specific cup. And so you would think, okay, just use something else. But he has, he's been taken to the hospital to be treated for dehydration before because he doesn't drink out of anything else. He really likes this cup.
That's crazy. Because that when we looked at this article before we went on air, I was like, well, you know, Kirk, he should just not go through a couple days of trauma and it'll help him, you know, and then he'll be able to sip out of any other, he'll be able to drink water out of any other cup. And you're like, yeah, but he went to hospital. He had to take IV. And I was like, oh.
But I still think there's some truth to that. I think it's that's the whole balance, right? Like I saw another interview this week with Temple Grandin because we reviewed her last week, so I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Reviewed that movie, I mean. And she talks about her whole push is we're coddling this generation of autistic people. She's like, I've seen people that are, in her words, less, how did she say it? They were better off than her, farther along than her, that couldn't order a hamburger.
Right. That
they needed to just be pushed a little bit. This is what she's saying. So send your letters to her, people. So right. I think there's something to that.
Right.
So it's a balance, right? That being said, if you sent this guy a cup, he got some cups of milk, I think it's great.
I know from being having really bad obsessive compulsive disorder, which is also a symptom or it's somehow correlated to or related to autism. When I had really, really bad OCD, which is sort of like what this kid's going through, is I could only wear certain things. I could only walk through doorways certain ways. I could only touch things certain ways. And a bazillion other things. That I was would I'd have like emotional trauma if I didn't do it that way, and you know we tried pills and everything like that and blah 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 blah, and the only thing that helped me was just will and changing it myself and going through that pain and anguish for a few hours and just my brain was so twisted when and it hurt so much not to go through a doorway that many times, but then once I was on the other side,
you're happy to be
literally
there.
And figuratively. It was easier.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm obviously not to the point where I would be taking an IV and I'm not a person with autism. I don't know what that's like. But I know what crippling obsessive compulsive disorder is like.
Right.
I know like not having any friends in high school is like because you have really bad OCD. I know having to get medicated and being sent away is like for OCD. You know, so I had it pretty bad, and I can tell from my experience that pushing yourself to not do it was very helpful to me. But again, I'm not as severe as this little guy.
Yeah, but I think it's a balance. I think it's like everything. Yeah. There's no silver bullet for anything. There's no one answer for anything. But mm-hmm. I think part of the solution is, and again, we're two idiots, but I think part of the solution is pushing yourself somehow. Not allowing, because I don't know if my son, if you allow him to just do whatever he wants, he literally wants to sit down and just eat candy all day. It was his birthday. My sister sent him a care package, and so he loves Reese's Pieces. He'll eat them the whole time. But it's just not good for you. So, you know, you can have one or two, and then you got to eat a piece of fruit or eat something else and do a little exercise. And so I think it's a balance. I think you really have to do push yourself and push these kids out of love.
So what's our topic du jour? Is it pushing yourself?
Pushing
Should
yourself
we change
out
our topic
love?
Du jour to pushing yourself? Because we were going to do asking for help on the internet.
Asking the internet for help. Yeah, that's a good one. But we can cover that a different area. I think it's maybe finding the balance.
Yeah, finding the balance. Yeah. I don't know. I think I think you've learned and I've learned is like the first. My parents are really, really good at pushing Peter.
Yeah.
You know? And I will say this, I know this for a fact, there are kids in his live, work, play program that don't have parents that have the resources, and don't have the time to push, or maybe don't have the will to push, a combination of those things, and they are further along than, like Temple Grandin said, than Peter, but they cannot live on their own, and Peter does.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Maybe Peter has more character, maybe, I don't know. Peter just has, like, a drive.
I think part of it is...
Yeah.
Maybe we all need to be pushed. We talked about this before.
I need to be pushed.
Yeah, I need to be pushed. We talked about this before. My place is a little bit messy. I just moved in a new place.
I made fun of him. That's my way of pushing him.
But it works. What am I going to do after this? I have two shows tonight. I'm like, I don't have to leave till 7. I've got 2 hours. I could clean up this place. I don't have to.
Yeah.
I don't have to make excuses all the time.
Yeah. You're doing great, though. Your new place is nice.
It's nice.
Get a nice hardwood floor.
It's like your place where it's like your old place where you talk about your bedroom clock is your microwave oven.
No, yours is bigger. You have a separate kitchen.
A little bit bigger.
Like a man.
Like a man.
I never had a separate kitchen.
But I still eat food standing over the sink directly out of a bag.
Yeah, well, that's just because you're a dude.
That joke works that Graham helped me with. Yeah.
I'm glad that works. I think we did it. Did we do it?
This is it, guys. Thank you so much for listening to another week.
This was sort of a more disjointed one, but I think it turned out pretty good, pretty well.
I think it's good. You got a little inside track on what it's like being a comedian, having people approach you afterwards. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. All right. Well, like always, please like us on iTunes or give us a review if you haven't. Give us a rate us. That helps a lot. That helps promote us very much. Tell your friends about it. If you can, if you feel like it, we would really appreciate you donating to patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. For $1 a week, you can help us keep doing this podcast. And you can find me at Graham K. Comedy on social media. Kirk?
And I'm Kirk Smith Comedy on all the social media. Guys, you're not alone. We're all in this together. You can do it.